All you need is love. What's love got to do with it? I will always love you. Crazy in love. I'm all out of love. I'll do anything for love. Love me tender. I want to know what love is. Love story. This is what my iTunes library tells me about love. So listen again. This will be a bit of a trip down memory lane for some of us. Name the artist. All you need is love. The Beatles. Very good. What's love got to do with it? Tina Turner, from my time at Georgetown in the 80s. Also from the 80s, I Will Always Love You. Whitney Houston, God rest her. How Deep Is Your Love? Reaching to the 70s, the Bee Gees. This is going to be tough for many of you here. Crazy in Love, Beyonce, everyone under the age of 35. That was good. Oh, I'm All Out of Love. Air Supply, I'm embarrassed to admit. I'll do anything for love. Meatloaf. Love Me Tender, of course, Elvis. I want to know what love is. Foreigner. And finally, for everyone under the age of 30 or 25, Love Story, Taylor Swift. Very good. You know, and I say this just not for trivia, but to share with you all how much we try to put words into what love is. We write songs and we write poetry and we write love letters. And days like Mother's Day, we try to capture a mother's love because this kind of loving is so much a part of our human experience. Yet our words always seem to fall short because we can never capture what love is completely. Like today, can we ever really capture a mother's love? And this is as it should be, because when we speak of love, we speak of a great mystery. And because it is a mystery, words will defy us, ultimately. And the source of this great mystery is God, who is the ultimate mystery. And so we always struggle to frame our love, our praise of God, and that is as it should be. It is indeed a holy mystery, but yet it is a mystery which is near. Thus the second reading, listen closely. Everyone who loves God, everyone who loves knows God, for God is love. Everyone who loves knows God, for God is love. Or the way Pope Francis put it, in his letter, his apostolic letter, The Joy of the Gospel, he wrote, "Whenever you encounter another person in love, you learn something new about God." Whenever you encounter another person in love, you learn something new about God. Note that this says nothing about the church or doing explicitly religious things. In fact, if we do all religious things and do not have love, we are told by St. Paul that we are merely a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. Everyone has a stake in this, religious or not. Jesus, who is love incarnate, shows us how to encounter and deepen this holy mystery, which is so near yet seems to elude us in all of its fullness. He says simply today, in words that are familiar, "Love one another as I have loved you. Remain in my love." What does this mean? Well, God's love, first of all, is specific and concrete. God doesn't love generally. Think about it. It's much easier to love generally, isn't it? But God loves you, and God loves me. Better, God actually likes me and likes you. In all of your beauty and brokenness, love this person on good days and bad. God's love is also very practical. St. Ignatius says, love ought to show itself more by deeds than by words. Love consoles and heals. Look at Jesus in the gospel, consoling and healing and bringing people in, especially those on the outside and the margins, a friend to those left out and left behind. Jesus' love is gritty and messy. Before these beautiful words we hear in today's gospel, he washes the disciples' feet. Sometimes we make that seem like some sort of divine manicure or something. But that was back in Jesus' time, very, very messy and smelly. But that's what Jesus did. He loved that really. And God's love is also finally faithful and committed. Love is not just a feeling. The lie of our culture often will say, do what you can to get that feeling, and when it passes, move on. That's not love. That's what we call a quick fix. It's self-involvement. It's using another human being or letting ourselves be used. Because if all love was really a great feeling, then Jesus surely would have turned around on the way to Calvary, when love really took its toll. But he teaches us that love is a decision. It's a commitment. It's hard sometimes, but it comes with a deep-seated joy of being there for another, as those married for many years teach us. Thus, Jesus' words today, there's no greater love than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. People who truly love lay down their life for one another in little pieces. And certainly there are big commitments and big decisions, but frankly, the stuff of love is very everyday. This small act of kindness, this small act of self-sacrifice. Look at your mothers. Think of all the little pieces that of loving that compose the love story of your mother. So for you and I then today, we can ask, when faced with this great challenge of loving very concretely, very practically, very faithfully, we can ask, how do we do it? And the fact is, we can't do it alone. And thus, the very good news in today's gospel, God loved us first. You did not choose me, but I chose you, we heard. God loved us first, and because of this great love, we can love God and others. We are freed to do that, unless we really embrace the simple truth of our existence, that God loves us first, in all of our beauty and all of our brokenness. Unless we really embrace this simple truth of unconditional love in a world which is so conditioned, we will never really be able to truly love God fully and love others truly and faithfully. And if you think about your life, think about those times where you've lived this lesson. Think about an experience when you were loved by your parents or grandparents, by your first love or your last romantic love. Think of that time. Think of how being loved by someone in that way liberated you and freed you to love unconditionally. This kind of loving in the end is evangelical. It brings others in. Thus, Pope Francis's constant refrain, concrete, gritty, practical, inclusive, committed, faithful love attracts. That's how the church grew in those first decades, and that's how it will grow today. For this love is the very presence of God, and that is very, very powerful stuff. So for you and I, disciples of this century and this time, the command to love one another is an evangelical command. And that is how God will be known, whether in religious acts or not. And this is powerful stuff. It was Teilhard de Chardin, this great Jesuit scientist, paleontologist, philosopher, theologian, who captured so powerfully the force of love, which is so otherworldly but yet so real, when he wrote in a contemplation on love, after harnessing the winds and the waves and the tides and the gravitation, we shall harness for God the energies of love. And on that day, for the second time in the history of the world, we will have discovered fire.